Hi, how are you guys?
Great.
Doing well.
Can you introduce yourself?
I'm Ilan. I'm an Israeli Jewish atheist. I was always an atheist. I guess I was more secular, but atheism has become a big part of my life in the last year and a half since my daughter was born, really. I just decided that I want this country to be a better country for her.
Oh.
So, and I think that's the way to go.
Wow.
I'm Ben, an Israeli Jewish atheist.
Right.
Though unlike Ilan, I actually grew up in a very traditional household until about a year ago. I still kept the kosher laws, you know, and until only 5 years ago, I stopped believing in the existence of a God. And nowadays, this is probably the biggest idea that I think that we should promote in our society.
Why?
Because here in Israel, especially here in Israel, it seems that that religious discussion is taking over every other discussion, be it education, be it security, be it politics, be it anything else. It seems that be it values, be it anything, we should be talking about how we create and how we manage all these aspects of our lives without the need for a belief in supernatural fantasies.
I think I'd even go a step further and say that I really believe that if there was no religion, if we weren't Jewish or Muslim or Christians, we wouldn't need an army in Israel, right? The army takes... the reason that our sons and daughters go to wars and die is because of... The core of it is because of religion, right? This land is ours. No, it's ours. We want it. War, right? If there was no religion, we would not need to go to the army. So for me, that's a good enough reason to stop this.
So I will get back to that, whether the conflict is a religious conflict or not, because I've been asking that question a lot here when in Tel Aviv and also in Palestine where I was 2 days ago. But before I do that, can you both answer this? Are you both atheists, right? But are you a Jew?
That's a tricky question. I am a Jew because my parents are Jews.
Are you a Jew?
Yes, I am a Jew because I have a shared history with anyone else who is a Jew, in my opinion.
All right. Can I...
For any practical purposes,
right.
I'm not a Jew. So I don't necessarily consider my history that interesting. I mean, history is interesting, generally speaking, but... the Jewish history isn't more interesting than any other people's history. So the only reason I consider myself a Jew is because I was born Jewish.
What does it mean to be a Jew?
So my answer is the same. It means being born a Jew.
So it's a blood thing, it's an ethnicity thing.
I don't want to say blood because that sort of puts us on a different rabbit hole that we can go down.
It's not blood.
To me, you can define yourself as a Jew, right? As far as I'm concerned, if you want to be Jewish, if you, Armin, now declare that you want to be a Jew, right. To me, you are a Jew.
Okay, but if I tell you that I believe in God, but I want to identify as an atheist, you think that's ridiculous, right?
Like, right, that's a contradiction.
That's a contradiction. And if I say, I don't believe in God, I don't think Muhammad was the prophet of anything, but I identify as a Muslim, you're like, yeah, that doesn't make sense, right? So what is it, so if you guys are atheists, what is it that makes you guys Jew? So if it's not blood, is it what he said? Is it a culture? Is it like if it's your parents and that's why you're a Jew, so you're talking about ethnicity? If it's not that, then what are you talking about?
Then I guess if ethnicity is my parents being... So that's why I was trying to avoid the blood thing, right? It's not blood. It's more of these are my parents. They are Jewish. I am Jewish. If they were anything else, I'd be that. It's not a matter of tradition or culture or history.
It's not culture.
For me, it isn't.
But for you, it is culture.
For me, it is. For me, it is a shared, in a sense, it's a shared history.
Hmm.
The fact that the reason you can be a Jew and be an atheist, you can say, proudly say, I don't believe in God, but I'm still a Jew, is the fact that you are, in the end, the result of years of a certain form of education, a certain society, a certain organization of society. It's exactly this. It's our shared history that makes me a Jew. So I cannot believe in God and still be a Jew.
But how is it that when you are an ex-Muslim, you have that shared history with a Muslim, you had that, you went through that culture, but when you leave it, you're no longer a Muslim. So why is it with Judaism that the Jew, being a Jew, stays?
I'll tell you why. Because our state is too young. It's a matter of semantics. I think it's language. It's what we use. Our state is too young to be able to, for us to be able to say. I mean, now we might be on the edge, the tip,
right,
of the balance. We're too young to say that we are Israelis. A Muslim can say, I don't believe in God, so I'm not a Muslim. But he is an Arab from any other Arab country. What does it mean to say Israel is around 70 years old? What does it mean to say that you are Israeli? It didn't mean anything in 30, 40 years ago. It barely meant anything. Nowadays, it means a little bit more, because Israeli meant Jew immediately. And nowadays, we're coming to a point where it might not.
But Israel is a new thing.
It is.
So your definition of a Jew is also a new thing, then. Because we didn't have the Israel before.
Exactly. Yeah, you're getting that. It's exactly that. You couldn't say that before. You couldn't say that if you don't believe it. Like, maybe back in the day, if you say you don't believe in God, then maybe you couldn't be Jewish. I don't know. Because where would it leave you?
Right.
Well, according to Judaism, you cannot un-Jew yourself, right? You can't just say,
exactly,
I'm now not a Jew anymore. And this has nothing to do with Israel, right? This is,
yeah, exactly, but they also say there's a God. So what do they know?
I agree. Yeah.
But it seems like there's four definitions of, based on all, my time in Israel and talking to a lot of people, I found four definitions of what it means to be a Jew, and they're not very related with each other, and the fourth one is the newest one. First one, it's a religion. Second one, it's a culture. Third one is an ethnicity. And this last new one, apparently, it's being Israeli. If it is that, do you think that Arab Israeli citizens are Jewish?
If they want to be.
Essentially, because I say that Judaism is a form of shared history, then, essentially, Arab Israelis, given enough time, you might be able to say that they are Jewish. I mean, because they're in the Jewish state, right?
Right.
And we have a shared history together here in this Jewish state, and they are citizens of this Jewish state. So,
I find it very hard to separate those first three ones. The last one is a bit different, but tradition, history, and religion, pretty much the core of it is belief in God, right? If you didn't believe in God, or originally the people who started it didn't believe in God, the history and culture would not be considered Jewish, right?
Right.
So once you detach yourself from those three, there's not much left. So that's to me, you can't say I'm a Jew because just for the culture. To me, that's weird.
Right. So given that means that if you take out the religion, then you're not Jewish anymore. Based on what you're saying.
That's what I said before. For any practical purpose, I'm not Jewish.
Yeah. I mean, so you guys disagree on this?
Yeah.
And given that so many Israelis disagree on this, does it mean anything anymore to be a Jew? Because you don't have a consistent definition of it? Like, it seems like if it could mean anything to anybody, then it doesn't really mean anything at all.
Well, I'm gonna forward this question to Ilan and ask if he meets a Jew anywhere, like any not in Israel. If you're traveling Europe and then you meet someone who says he's a Jew, wouldn't you get that tingling feeling of familiarity?
I don't know if you like this answer. When I travel, I try to stay as far away from Jews, Israeli, definitely Israelis. I just like to learn about other cultures. So, of course, you get that sense of familiarity, just like you would if you met someone who's in your chess class, right? Someone who you have something in common with, then you'll get that feeling. But it's not based on anything other than that something in common. So,
I'll ask you something. Right? So you're an atheist, right?
Yeah.
If you were traveling somewhere else, right? Like, say you were traveling in Egypt. If somebody came to you and said they are Jewish, would you get more that tingly feeling? Or if some Arab came to you from Egypt and said they are atheist?
Wow. it's a really good question. I think I would probably. It's a bit hard for me to be that objective when we're talking about Arab states. In my mind, it's pretty tough to be an atheist in the Arab states. So I'd sympathize with the atheist Egyptian. But let's take it somewhere else. Not to Egypt. Take it somewhere. United States. If someone were to tell me that he's an atheist, right. United States or Jew, United States, I think the Jew would still give me
really
a more tingling sense.
I think my conversation with the atheist would be much more interesting.
Because it would be interesting, but I'm saying the feeling of familiarity that we belong to the same in-group, it would be stronger with the Jew than with the atheist for me.
I would think that things that people choose says more about them than things that they didn't choose, right? So if somebody is an atheist, they had a say in it. So
I don't agree with that.
No?
No.
Why?
I think you can't choose what you believe. Or you don't believe, right?
Well, I mean,
so
technically,
I didn't
choose
to not believe. I just can't believe.
But
you can't force me to believe. I want to believe I have $1 million. I don't.
Right. Okay. Well, technically, you can't choose anything.
Right.
There is no free will. But there's a line that we cross.
That's a rabbit hole. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, but there's for the sake of argument, because even though, I mean, there's a difference between. So if you pull a gun on me and ask me for my wallet, I had no choice to give it to you. But even if you don't pull a gun on me and I just donate it to you, I didn't have a choice either. But we have to come up with the difference between those two.
An efficient way of speaking.
Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, I understand what you're saying. But I'm just saying that people's view values and ideas says more about them than anything else, right? So, I mean, if somebody agrees, somebody says, like, I believe in free speech, I'm an atheist, I was born in Iran, right? So, but somebody that is not born in Iran and says they're an atheist and believe in free speech, they believe in liberal values, I feel like, oh, I have a lot in common with you. But if somebody says I'm from Iran, I'm like, okay.
That's a great example. You're Iranian, right?
Right.
We're in Israel now. We shouldn't be having this conversation if that's really what we cared about.
Right.
But the fact that I can be your friend, right? I feel like I could be your friend much more than an ultra orthodox. Jew that lives right next to the
or
town next
Iranian,
to me here,
or religious Iranian,
or right? Exactly.
So I think we have more in common with you guys than most people in Iran, because
absolutely.
Yeah. So that's why I don't get that sense, like that. Don't get that tingly feeling if I meet a fellow Iranian. So, I probably will run away like you. No, I'm just kidding.
No. So we need to differentiate between my cognitions and my feelings, right? So
right.
I would appreciate the atheist for being one. It's not something. It's not easy. Not all people get there naturally. Some are born into religious families, and then it's really hard to get out. And you yourself came from a very liberal family, and then you went into the
faith. Became very religious.
You became very religious, and then you you exited the religion again. But it's just a matter of this sense of familiarity. I think it just has to do with me growing up in a very Jewish household.
Right.
It'd be a sense of nostalgia. It would remind me of my childhood myself.
But can't you get that without being Jewish? Like, I'm from Iran, right? I don't see any sense of pride or anything in that, but I still, when I eat Iranian food, I get nostalgia. I don't have to be proud of where I was born to enjoy the nostalgia that I get from eating Iranian food.
Exactly.
Right?
I agree with you on that one.
Okay.
That doesn't mean I have to be proud. I'm not proud of this person for being a Jew.
Right.
It just gives you that feeling.
Just a feeling. Yes.
Exactly.
Okay. I could talk about this forever, but I want to get to the next question. One thing that we, as atheists, we do is we anti-theist atheists. What we do, we criticize religion a lot, right? A lot of people were in Western countries get more attack for criticizing Islam than I do, because they're like, apparently being an ex-Muslim for some people gives you a license to criticize Islam, and I don't think it's fair. For example, I go give speeches and some people come and say like, I agree with everything you say against Islam, but I'm white, so I'd rather you talk about it. I'm like, what do you mean? If something is wrong, everybody should be able to say it's wrong, right? But now that we're trying to attack different religion, when it gets to Judaism, people are like, oh no, you don't go there, okay? Like, this is you're feeding into anti-Semitic views, criticizing Judaism, plays their narratives. You're feeding their hatred. Judaism is a small religion, there's not that many of them, so don't attack Judaism. What do you guys think about that?
So, I think that's why it's important to be anti-theistic, if you are an anti-theist, across the board.
Right.
That is the definition of anti-Semitism to me. Saying things and criticizing Israel isn't bad. Saying things and criticizing Judaism isn't bad in itself. But when it becomes the sole criticism that you have, out of all religions you criticize only Judaism, or out of all nations in the world you criticize only Israel, then that is when it becomes, in a sense, anti-Semitic.
A cover, like you have a different, it looks like you have a different intention.
Exactly.
Right, when you're, okay. But so your answer is that as long as you have been attacking Islam, Christianity, and Hinduism, nobody should think that you're anti-Semitic if you also do Judaism?
Exactly.
What do you think?
I think the term anti-Semitic is mostly addressed to people who are Jews. But there is a fine line between criticizing people and criticizing ideas and a religion, basically. I think it's okay to criticize Judaism and even only Judaism if you want to. Mm. It doesn't mean the people who are Jews are bad people. So anti-Semitism is, to me, very very related to, maybe aggression and violence against people and the ideas behind, it's just because they have these ideas.
And not against ideas.
Exactly, and not against the ideas themselves.
Right, but people say that if you attack Judaism, I'm not attacking a group of people. I'm attacking these ideas, and their ideas are wrong, and that's why I'm attacking them.
But that should be fine.
But they say I understand that you're doing this, but the consequences of what you're doing is more harmful than beneficial, right? Because a lot of people use these attacks on Judaism as a tool to communicate hatred towards a certain group of people.
Right, that's where the fine line becomes...
Even if you don't do it, they will use what you're saying
to
promote hatred towards a certain group of people. What would you say to that?
That's a big problem. If someone criticizes an idea, and someone, it's like you could take that out of religion. You could say, I'm criticizing capitalism now.
Right.
And then some crazy guy would say, from now on, I'm going and killing every capitalist that I know, every person who thinks that capitalism is good.
Right.
So what can you do? I mean, so you won't promote your...
Right. So you could only be responsible for the things that you are. Yeah.
It's kind of the easy way out, but it's the only... You can't control what crazy people will do with what you say, right? I mean, it's...
Well, how about there's two ways I think you could do that. And you tell me if this is a good solution. One is to constantly remind people that you're not attacking a group
Absolutely.
Of people.
Yeah.
And that you're against anybody that does that. Like, for example, one thing I've done is that I have complimented my attacks on Judaism, but also going after attacking anti-Semitic people. Like, if you're attacking Judaism, for example, you could also... Go out, tell people why anti-Semitic views are, go attack Holocaust deniers, right? If you're attacking Islam, also stand for the rights of oppressed Muslims at the same time. Like, one thing we do at Atheist Republic is that we're constantly attacking China for the way that they treat Muslims. Even though we're constantly attacking Islam, we're also attacking China for their mistreatment of Muslims. That's the one way. Another way is for example, with Islam, the way people have promoted ex-Muslims to show that, look, even people from there that are not hateful towards their brothers and sisters, they're against Islam. How about, highlighting people like you guys that are atheists, Jewish or ex-Jewish, whatever. Do you think that would be a good strategy, by highlighting atheist Jews?
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
It's a good idea?
It is a good idea. I don't know if it solves, I don't know if it... nails that crazy person on the street that decides that he'll do what he wants to do, right? It's not, even when you criticize China for the way they treat Muslims, China doesn't care, right? It's not like they're...
It's not about changing China. It's about the people that are watching your channel, and they come to your channel because they think you're anti-Islamic, to get that anti-Muslim fuel, and they're like, oh wow, these people can be anti-Islam and not anti-Muslim. Well, you change minds like that a little bit, one by one.
I agree, yeah.
All right, okay, by the way, given that I'm going to mention promoting you guys, what is your channel, YouTube channel?
So, sorry. Our YouTube channel. Let's do that again, maybe.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, my throat is a bit.
Yeah. So our YouTube channel is going to be. Well, I'll talk about why we started it at all. We felt that there wasn't enough. We only have like 7 minutes left on there, so we'll just get through it fast.
Tell me your YouTube channel and the main channel, the main struggles that you deal with on your YouTube channel in Israel.
Fine. You want me to tell the name of the channel in Hebrew, just like
name of the channel in Hebrew, and also the main struggles, the main thing.
Right. So our channel is called Hadeist Hamatsui, or in a translation, the common layman, everyday atheist. Mm. And what we want to talk about, what we want to really make people be more aware of, unlike in the United States and in English in general, there are a lot of channels like Drew's channel, the genetically modified skeptic, that talk about religion and talk about the statements that religion makes and why they're untrue and why atheism is a more rational position to have. Here in Israel, we don't have enough of these channels. There are a few, none that do it as well, and none in Hebrew. Mm. So our main struggles is really to give the correct answers, the correct information, to encourage this discussion of these topics in Hebrew and about Judaism. Most of the attacks are on Christianity and Islam because they're the more popular religions. No one talks about Judaism as much. So we try in our channel to really pinpoint the very specific things that gets Israelis going.
Mm. Also, in Israel, there's a bit of a problem with even though you're free to talk about anything you want, right? We're in this room now having this podcast, and that's okay. No one will prosecute us. But people, generally speaking, even secular people, don't go out saying that they're atheist. You don't hear that very often. They can be completely, completely secular. They won't keep kosher. They will not, maintain the Sabbath. But when you ask them, "Do you believe in God?" Sometimes will be yes. And if you say, "Do you not believe in God?" then they won't say the word atheist isn't really out here. Mm. And we're trying to get it out. We're trying to normalize it, to get people out of the closet, I guess, right? Of the atheist closet, to make them feel that they belong to a community. Just like you had in Iran, you felt alone.
Yeah.
And people here, I think, also do.
Well, you're doing your Lord's work.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Armin.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was great.
We wrap it up.
Wow, that was really good.
Atheists are under attack in many places. If they were Christians, their voices would be heard. If they were Jews, their voices would be heard. If they were Muslims, their voices would be heard. But they are atheists, and not many seem to be listening. Let's make it difficult for them to ignore us. We have built a global community, and now we are tearing down geographic, cultural, and language barriers so we can find each other and support each other. In the last decade, we have built the largest atheist community in the world. Now we're doing the same in other languages. With your help, we have started Atheist Republic in Persian and Arabic.
انضميت مؤخرا لأسرة Atheist Republic وحيصير عندي podcast باللغة العربية.
As we grow, we can dedicate more time, staff, and resources to start doing the same in Spanish, Portuguese, Malay, Bengali, Urdu, Hindi, and other languages. We are providing community, support, informative content, and amplifying the voices of those who need protection, especially in countries where people feel isolated simply for their lack of belief. We want to be there for them, and we are only getting started. Help us get there. Check in the description for ways you can support our projects.